The book of Acts, and again, we move from the dramatic conversion of Saul, and we return to the life of Peter. We saw a little bit about him the last time we were together, and one of the things that the book of Acts does is it gives us a wonderful glimpse into the beginning of the church. Now, as a way of introduction, I want to look at a couple of passages. And Genesis chapter 10. In Genesis chapter 10, we have what is called the Table of Nations. And in Genesis chapter 10, we learn this. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So after the flood, Shem, Ham, and Japheth go out and begin to repopulate the earth. And we're going to see something very interesting as we get into the book of Acts here in a moment. But the church was originally made up of all Jewish believers. Okay? We know this as seen in chapters 1 through 7. And this was the sons of Shem receiving the gospel. We're not going to read it, but in Genesis 10, verses 21 to 31, we learn about the sons of Shem. And these are, from Shem comes the Middle Eastern people, the people from the Middle East, okay? And the Jewish people would be that, all right? Then the Samaritans receive the gospel. We saw that in chapter 8. These are also part of the sons of Shem. And then the gospel goes to Africa with the Ethiopian eunuch. And this is also, we saw this in chapter 8. This is the sons of Ham receiving the gospel. Genesis 10, verses 6 through 20. And the sons of Ham make up the African nation and the Asian nations that we know of today. Today, we're going to see that the Lord has to work in Peter's heart to get him ready for the next exciting movement of God, which is bringing the Gentiles to the church. Now, this is the sons of Japheth receiving the gospel. Genesis 10, verses 2 to 5. And the sons of Japheth become the European and the Westerners. So most of us here today trace our roots back to Japheth because of, being European. Now, we have some Asian and African roots here too, but so these are the three people groups. This is the Table of Nations. And it's exciting that we see this in the book of Acts. Now what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. Who is part of the world? Shem, sons, Japheth's sons, and Hamson. Okay? He's part of the world. Turn one more introductory passage. Turn to Acts 17. We live in difficult days. We live in days when people are trying to divide people. Look what it says in verse 26, Acts 17, 26. And this is Paul preaching in Athens on Mars Hill, and he uses the statue, the inscription, to the unknown God. Okay? Of course, Paul knew that all the other statues and all the other gods that were not real gods, but he used this, the unknown God. He says, You folks don't know this unknown God. Let me tell you who he is. And notice what it says in verse 26. Hath made of one blood all nations. Okay? Now, you will hear people today in our government say, well, you're part of the black race, you're part of the white race, you know, you're part of the Asian race. There's no such thing. There's one race. It's called the human race. Okay? He has made of one blood. But there is division. He goes on to say what? All nations. Okay? So the nations is where the diversity comes in culture, in country, and etc. It comes from the division of the nations, not the division of the human race. So don't fall for that, okay? We look different. We sound different. But we're all part of the human race. We're all part of the world to which God loves. God loves the whole world, and it was God who gave us different backgrounds and distinctions. He wants us to reach all people. What did he say in Acts 1:8? Witness of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and what? Outermost parts of the world. Okay? So, you know, we have our Jerusalem, we have our Judea, we have our Samaria, outermost parts of the world. We see the Bible, we see in the outline, the door being cracked open to where the world will now receive the gospel. God had to work on the prejudice of the Jews toward the Gentiles, whom the Jews considered dogs. Okay? That's what the Jews thought of the Gentiles. They are dogs. Okay? And all of us grow up with prejudice. We all grow up with some sort of prejudice. It could be social, it could be economic, it could be ethnic, it could be geographic, it could be religion, it could even be sports. Okay? I'm not well-loved because of the sports teams that I like up here. I suffer some prejudice, you know? The other day, people photographed me because I had a Boston Red Sox shirt on, you know? I was going into enemy territory, so I'm just teasing. But, you know, before coming here, I attempted to plant a church up north in Whitefield and Twin Mountain. And basically, the makeup of Whitefield and Twin Mountain are white folks. I'm a white man. I would knock on doors, and people would answer the door, and this is what we heard multiple times. Ain't from around here, are ya? Ain't from around here, are ya? No. But there is prejudice. You know? And prejudice it's everywhere. And sometimes prejudice is white on white, sometimes it's white on black, sometimes it's black on black, sometimes it's, you know, and God had to work in Peter's heart because Peter thought of the Gentiles as dogs. Okay? So notice with me, first point, the commandment of the Lord. And we're going to begin to see today in Acts chapter 10, we're going to begin to see today God working in two people's lives. And first, Cornelius. Now look at verse 1. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Okay? So, here is a man of Caesarea. Remember, Peter's in Joppa. Caesarea is a little farther north on the coast, and he had to go up on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And here's Cornelius. He's a centurion. That meant he commanded 100 men in the Roman army. Okay? So this man is a Gentile. He's in the Roman army. And he was probably Italian. Okay? And notice what it says of him in verse 2. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. He was a devout man who at the time worshipped the God of the Jews. Fascinating. He's a Gentile. Not only is he a Gentile, he's a leader in the Roman army. And he worships Jehovah. And a vision was given to him. Look at verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So as he's praying, God sends him an angel with an answer to his prayer. Why is this? He's a devout man. He's seeking God. And he's being obedient to the light that he has. But he doesn't yet know about the Messiah. So, anyone who is truly seeking the Lord will what? Find him. Matthew 7. Ask, seek, knock. Seek and ye shall what? Find. If someone is truly seeking truth, if someone is truly seeking the Lord, they will find him. And that's a wonderful truth. So a commandment is given to Cornelius, but a commandment is also given to Peter. Now, it wasn't as big of a deal for a Gentile to be with a Jewish person, but it was a big deal for a Jewish person to be with a Gentile person. What is the church made up of at this point? Jews and a couple of Samaritans. So now God has to work on Peter's heart to prepare him to take the gospel to people who are not like you. Okay? And notice what it says, verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, so they begin their journey, the men from Cornelius begin their journey. And they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord. That's an interesting phrase. Peter telling the Lord, No. Alright? For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice or three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. So, Peter is at Simon the tanner's house. A tanner is someone who takes animal skins and tans their hides. And, you know, they use animal skins for wine sacks and all kinds of things, okay? Today we use pig skins for football. I don't know if they still do, but, you know, but it was at one time, you know, throwing the pig skin and, you know, I'm sure that, or leather, right? Leather is from cowhide, and unless you have pleather, which is plastic leather, you know, imitation. But anyway, so Peter went up on the rooftop to pray at noon while he was waiting for lunch. He was hungry, and God used this as an opportunity to teach Peter. Now, the Jewish people had a very strict diet. And we're not going to go through all of that, but today they ate what we would call a kosher diet, okay? And there's many foods that Jewish people did not, cannot, will not, and continue, do not eat, okay? And that Peter is hungry. And in this vision, he sees a sheep coming down, and it has all kinds of animals in it. Even animals that Jewish people are allowed to eat. Bacon. Okay? A shellfish, okay? And all these things that are in there, and the Lord says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And Peter says, nope. I've never eaten anything unclean. And God says what? What I've called clean, don't you call unclean. And this was done three times. And Peter's thinking about this. What does this mean? What are they going to serve me for lunch? I don't think that's what he was thinking. But anyway, you know, and just that time, as he's thinking on this, remember, God answered Cornelius' prayer. Go send for Peter. Now, Peter is going to be the vessel that God uses to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom, but God has to work on Peter's heart. Because Peter, in his Jewishness, could never follow a Gentile and never go into a Gentile's house. So Peter is thinking on this, and there's a knock on the door. Is there somebody named Simon Peter here? And he welcomes them in. Now notice point number two, the cooperation of godly men. Point number one was the commandments of the Lord. Point number two, the cooperation of men. And notice the Spirit speaks to Peter, verse 19 and 20. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Okay? So not only does Peter receive the vision, but the Spirit of God tells him, go with them and don't doubt anything. Peter greets and questions the men. In verse 21, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Why are you here? I'm Peter. What is it that you want? And so the men answer him in verse 22, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion. So right away, who does that tell Peter that this man is? A Gentile. He's a just man. He's one that feareth God. And a good report among the nations of the Jews was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So now Peter is thinking. You know, he's thinking about the vision. He's thinking about what the Spirit says to him. And in verse 23, in the first part, then called he them in and lodged them. So here's the first step in a good direction in Peter's life. He brings these Gentiles in and shows them hospitality. It's obvious that Peter is beginning to understand the vision of the sheep. It's obvious that Peter is beginning to understand, you know, that the Spirit said to him. And remember, for God so loved the world. And the last thing that the Lord Jesus said to the disciples before he departed was he gave them the Great Commission. And the Great Commission was to go into where? All the world. So Cornelius welcomes Peter. Look at the second part of verse 23. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up! I myself also am a man." So Peter went with the men from Cornelius, and Peter also went with several Jewish people from Joppa. We're not going to see the importance of this today, but we will see the importance of this the next time we get together at the, why did he bring these men with him? We'll see the importance of that. Tune in later for that. But Cornelius was waiting for them. That shows his faith. God told him, go get Peter, and then Peter's waiting for them. And isn't it interesting? What does the Bible say that Cornelius did while he was waiting for them? He went and gathered up all his friends and family. God's got a message that he's going to tell me, and you know what? I want my family and friends to hear this message. That's good advice. He was concerned about their souls. But then Peter comes, and Cornelius does something that he shouldn't have done. He falls down to worship him. And Peter says, hold it. I'm just a man. And we should never, ever worship any person, even the person who led us to the Lord. And notice the conviction of Peter, point number three. Look at verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, that means without any objection, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee immediately. Therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Isn't that awesome? Could you imagine if this happened to us? You know? Could you imagine if we come to a house, people know we're coming, and they gather all their family together, and they say, here we are. Tell us what God wants us to do. And that's what Peter finds. And we see here that Peter has a very teachable spirit. And the Spirit had been working on Peter to prepare him for this. Because he said, it's not lawful for me. Jewish law. This is not what God ever intended. Yes, God did want the Jewish people to be a set-apart people, but God never intended the Jewish people to be an isolated people. And he says, it's not lawful for me to be here. And I am so glad, my friends, that today in the church, Christ has abolished the distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. Look at Romans 12. I'm sorry, Romans 10, verse 12. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Okay? So what kind of distinction does God put between the Jew and the Greek? None. If we were to read the book of Romans leading up to here, all are guilty. All are equally guilty, the Jew and the Greek. And God sent the Savior for all, the Jew and the Greek. Sent to the Jew first, but not to the Jew only, okay? But notice what it says here. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them who call upon him. So whether you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, and all of us here are Gentiles, the same rich mercy and grace of God is available to us. Amen. Because if it weren't, we'd be in trouble. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And that distinction is further broken down. Jew, Greek, male, female, slave, or not a slave. There's no difference between anyone in the church. There's no difference between anyone for whom God died. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody and anybody. Rich, poor, young, old, male, female, black, white, and whatever color in between. We should witness to all people without objection or question. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. And the proof that your heart is right is you will share the gospel with everyone. Everyone. So here's another aspect of the early church that we can duplicate today. Remember when we started this study, I said there are many things in the book of Acts that we can duplicate, but there are also some things we can't duplicate. We don't have apostles anymore, you know, and there's some things we can't do like the apostles did. But here is something we can do. We can duplicate. Taking the gospel to everyone, even people who are different than you. And you know, isn't it wonderful that God makes us unique? Isn't it wonderful that every one of us are different? You know, I said in the morning service that it's been 40 years that I've known Sandy, and our next wedding anniversary will be 38 years we're married. And, you know, even Sandy and I are so different. You and your spouse, you know, you didn't know everything about them. Some of the things you wish you didn't know. But, you know, we're all different. Everybody's different. So what? Get over that. And take the gospel. I love my father. I love my father dearly. But I remember the first time I was going to the Philippines. My dad said, "Why are you going over there to those people?" And I said, "What do you mean, those people?" You know? What do you mean by that? Those people. And we have to be careful that that's not our mentality. You know, we have an opportunity, through the RU building down there in Franklin to reach people that aren't like us. But they are people in dire need of Christ. Dire need. You need, what did Jesus say? Go out into the highway and into the hedges. You know? Because he has a a house that he once filled. And there's no room in God's church for prejudice. And I believe with all my heart that what our government has done, you know, hasn't helped one bit to end this division. You know what people need? The Lord. They need to be brought to the same Savior. So when all of us come, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're black, whether we're white, whether we're male, whether we're female, whether we're Red Sox fan or New York Mets fan, we all come to the same Savior. And we have a mutual Savior. We have a mutual love. And we all become part of the same family. So get over it that this kid from New Jersey is in this family. You're stuck with me. But, you know, but really, that's the only thing that can bring about peace and harmony, the Lord. And God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does reconciliation imply? That there's a separation. So, of course, God has called us to reconcile the world to himself and then us to each other. It's a wonderful thing. Look at these last couple of verses and we'll close. Revelation 5. Friends, we need to get ready for heaven. Amen? And look what's going to be in heaven. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, I love this, based on what we've just been learning, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. What does it say? Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Look at chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, amen, and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. I can't wait until that day, but we get a little taste and a little glimpse of that in the church today. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Take the gospel to all the world. That's what we've been commanded to do. And if the church can't show reconciliation, and if the church can't show peace between people, who can? Government can't. How's that looking? Government can't. So next week we're going to see Peter's second use of the keys. Remember, the Lord gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, and what he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and what he loosed on earth. And Peter used those keys to open up the kingdom to the Jewish people. And now Peter will use those keys to open up the kingdom to the Gentiles. And Peter opens the door, and in a couple chapters, Paul comes and knocks the door down and brings the Gentiles in, and praise God for that. So now the sons of Shem, Ham, and Japheth will hear the gospel. Amen? Amen. All right. Find a person. 5 minutes, pray for somebody you're praying for, and when Sarah begins to play the piano in 5 minutes, wrap that up, and we'll wrap up the service. Remember, we're praying for the soul of someone God has laid on your heart. So find a person close to you to pray for, and pray for those two people.